Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Yes, what an amazing time of worship. And it's so fitting on the birth of our Savior to invite all the children up. So if you are a child or a child at heart, or you have a little one, bring them forward, no matter their age. Come grab a seat in front of me here. We want to have a quick Bible teaching with you guys. And then we're going to head off to the back and let the moms and dads hear from Brad as to what the Lord has laid on his heart. So come on, come forward. See, there are a lot of kids running around in Spurs shirts here. That is terrible. Come on, guys. Come on, Reed. Hello, my boy. Come on. Hey, happy Easter, guys. Not Easter. What is today? Christmas. Come on. Is Easter still a long time to come? But Christmas is the reason for Easter, and Easter is the reason for Christmas. Did you know that, Heath? No. That's a bit deep. So, who got some presents this morning? What did you get, Beth?
This.
What is that, my darling? That is a... What is that? That is awesome. Can we show everybody? Can I show them? Show them. Lift it up. Check this thing out. I think the moms and dads might need one of these more than Beth. That's beautiful. Nathan, what did you get, Porky?
I've got a watch.
A watch? Nice. Did you get this Man United kit as well? I'm going to have to chat to you, Dad. Boogs, what did you get?
I got a watch in a Man United outfit.
What did you get, champion? What's that?
A black Spidey.
Black Spidey. Let me see that thing. That is awesome. How cool is that? Girls, we've heard a lot of the boys. What did you girls get?
I got Cubby the Curious Bear.
Cubby the Curious Bear.
I got a pocket pet.
A pocket pet? How does that thing work? How cool is that? Hey, look at that. That's like a Tamagotchi. Oh, check. Showing your age. Taylor, what did you get, my darling?
This necklace and this watch.
That is beautiful. You guys are so lucky. Tiff, what did you get, my princess?
It was Hask Mr. Two and Koma, Kama, and Angelico Three, and Witchy Witch, Jenna Witch.
Nice, Tiff. You got spoiled today, Dawn. So, guys, Christmas is all about presents. That's right, eh? It's all about getting gifts, getting presents, eating, relaxing. No, come on. What is it about?
It's about baby Jesus.
When he was born. And what's exciting about baby Jesus being born?
Because he came down to the world on Christmas. So we celebrate it because he is our Lord and Savior and he died on the cross.
Whose child are you? One more. Why is it so important that Jesus was born? Why do we celebrate?
Because he came to save us all.
Guys, that is the heart of Christmas. Look behind me. Who can read this? John. Prince of Peace. What does Prince mean? Son of the King. Good. Well done, Heath. Jesus is the Son of God. What does peace mean? He's a peace giver. But what does it mean, guys? Calm. Beautiful. Okay, let me wrap this up because we've got roasts in the oven. So, guys, what does peace mean? Here's what it is. Jesus brings us peace in three ways. The first and the most importantly is he brings peace between us and God. because of the bad stuff we've done, because of our sin, we are at war with God. And what Jesus does is he brings an end to that fight. So when we accept Jesus in our heart, that hostility, that fight comes to an end. And God loves us. And the Bible tells us we become his children. How cool is that? That's the greatest gift. That's the first way Jesus brings peace. The second way, he brings peace in our hearts because we know that we are children of God. And the last way he brings peace is he brings peace for all. Well done, Eth. And how does that peace go out? Eth, do you know? By the Holy Spirit through us. So this Christmas, I want you to give the gift of peace to people. Give the gift of peace to people in your home. So you can listen to mom and dad. But we're going to tell people about Jesus. Is that good? Can we pray? And then we're going to head to the back. We've got some activities for you guys there. Are you ready? Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the excitement of Christmas in the lives of our children. We thank you for the excitement of presents, but we thank you that these children know you, that the excitement, the real excitement about Christmas is that you came to earth, that you brought about a peace between us and God, and that we can be called his children. Lord, we thank you for the children of this church. We thank you for the children of this word. Lord, bless them, encourage them, grow them. Jesus, put them on your lap and launch their lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. So guys, let's head off to the back. We've got some coloring in and some activities for you to do there. And we're going to hand over to Brad.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. It's wonderful to see you here. It's so lovely to celebrate Jesus together. We do that every Sunday. So if this is your first time in church, you're welcome every Sunday. But we welcome every visitor here this morning. It's a privilege to have you. I believe we have some mince pies. And they don't have the orange peels in them. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, when I eat those mince pies and I got those orange peels in, I don't like it. But the ones we have are really nice. So stick around, have a coffee with us. But let's enjoy him. It's wonderful to see you. Can I pray for us again? I know there's a lot of prayer going on, but we love to talk to Jesus and we want his presence and him to do what he does so easily and so powerfully among us. So Lord, we just want to thank you so much. The way that you came, born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was God coming to earth, Emmanuel. Jesus, you've come to us in you, embodied within you as the Spirit of God, saying that I want to reach out to every man on the earth. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. And you made it possible for us to have a doorway to you. You came where we were unreachable. You reached out. You've come to us. And you died for us. And you've pierced the earth with heaven. And now you've gone back from earth into heaven and you're seated on the throne watching over us today. While we celebrate your birth, we celebrate the fact that you're seated on the throne and you've made a door for every single one of us to come and worship the Father, to be called children of God. We thank you, Father God. Lord, I praise you. You are adorable. You were adorable as a baby. But that's not why and that's not what makes you adorable. What makes you adorable is the fact that you set people free. That you wash every one of their sin, and that you welcome us into an eternal relationship which can never be taken away. That's what makes you adorable. That's why we celebrate you on this day. Whether it's your actual birthday or not, we just want to celebrate you every single day of our lives. You've come, and you're calling us to come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't that amazing? He's called us, he loves us, and he wants us. Right. Please, if you've got a Bible, I know we're going to try and put the scriptures up for you. We've had a couple of lightning strikes in the area, so we're making a plan with all the electrical things. So excuse my apology. That's why you see all these things a bit darker, a little bit. But as long as the coffee machine's working, I'm happy. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 8 to 21 together. And as I go, I'm just going to make some comments and open up this wonderful nativity scene to us. There's a whole lot in it. The title of my message is on the stage, The Prince of Peace. We've been singing about the Prince of Peace this morning. We've heard about the Prince of Peace. And I want to talk about that incredible Prince of Peace. It's probably one of the most wonderful titles of Jesus that we can find. And I'm trusting today that you would go not just with peace, but that you would have the Prince. I don't want you to just have a peaceful Sunday or a, what is today? Wednesday. don't want you to have just a peaceful encounter. It's one thing to have peace and quiet. And a lot of people will try and control things and have things in order, but they actually have no peace. And I don't just want you to have peace. I want you to have the Prince today. If you've come for anything, it's for the greatest gift that Christmas can ever give you is a Prince. And he is the Son of the King. He's the ruler of peace. He's the leader of peace. He's the one who's in charge of peace. And if you have peace, it's got to be because you have him. And so let's look at that this morning. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 21. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. Just let me interject there. Isn't that what the world is like at the moment? There's the display of the glory of God in so many places, in so many ways. You just have to open your eyes to see it. But so many people are full of fear. And because there's so much fear, it actually blinds us to see the God of creation. I mean, I love summer in South Africa. It's beautiful. Everything's green. This rain has been incredible. It's just blue-green everywhere. And the guys that have been traveling back and forth from the coast have just said that the whole country is beautifully green. Isn't that a blessing from God? But I tell you what, that's a display of the glory of God. That's a display of our King. That's a display of our Lord. But because so many of us are focused on other things, there's so much fear. So in the place of glory, there's the place of fear. And so many people are scared of things that are going on. And so I hope that today the Prince of Peace will set us free from the things that we fear. And it says this, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." For all people. "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths in every single shopping center across the world in 2019, this is a sign to you. There's glory all around, but people are afraid to call him the King." He is the King. He is the Lord. There's glory everywhere. It's just what we're focused on. And he will be lying in a manger. There's a spiritual reality, folk. There's an angel that is speaking to a shepherd. And an angel is a spiritual being. And this spiritual being is making a announcement of a spiritual news that is changing all the physical circumstances. Every single one of us are stuck in physical circumstances. It might be swaddling cloths. It might be a manger. I mean, a feeding trough, for heaven's sake. For earth's sake, a feeding trough is where Jesus came and he shows his humility, and that's where he'd come. But there's something spiritual about it. It's not just a poor little situation. There's something spiritual about what Jesus wants to bring. And that's why he announces it with angels. And this whole message has got something behind it that is superior to anything we can imagine. Christmas isn't just about the consumerism and the credits, blowing your credits on your credit card and all the stuff to try and be big at buying the best presents and having the best presents and having the best stuff. Please, folk, don't get caught in that trap, because it'll rob your peace. But there's a spiritual message and there's a spiritual thing that Jesus wants to bring to us, and it's far superior. The world needs that. The world doesn't need another Christmas pie. The world needs the spirit behind it. And the spirit behind it is our wonderful Savior, Jesus. In 13, it says, "And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Isn't that amazing? A multitude of the heavenly host. These angels and this heavenly host. I mean, this is like every spiritual being, every creature of heaven. It's not just the one angel now. They break in on the scene, and they can see two things. They can see the glory of God in the highest, and they can see peace coming to men on the earth. Isn't that an amazing thing? Imagine being those shepherds and seeing what they see, but then realizing that the angels are seeing something far greater and seeing that greatness come to every single man. What an opportunity. What an incredible thing. And then those angels retract, because this spiritual message is going to find its way among men in the most unexpected way. And so the peace and the pleasure of God has come in this incredible way. The view of glory and peace is what these angels see. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. I mean, can you imagine? I wonder what happened to the sheep. They were supposed to look after the sheep. They left those things. Like, let's go and find out what's going on with this baby. And when they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. I think it was more than just what had been told them by the angel. Because what had been told these shepherds in Israel were the prophecies of Isaiah for years and years and years, that someone was going to come. And when an angel makes an announcement, you know whether it's an angel or not, whether it's an angel or a demon, based on the fact that it's lining up with scripture that you know. And so these shepherds would have known the scriptures of Isaiah, seen this angel come and represent the wonderful truths that had been heard. So they went away praising God, not just that what the angel had said was true, but that everything that God had said was true. That if he said he was going to bring a savior, he brought a savior. If he says he's going to do something, if he's going to lead you into a promised land, if he's going to provide for you, if he's going to save you, if he's going to return, if he said he's coming again, every Christmas we must be reminded that the one who came the first time is the one who's coming again. Why? Because what he says, he does. He's faithful and he's true, and we can praise him for that. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In earlier in Luke, it says his name will be called Jesus because he will save the world from their sin. Wow. And so we have this Prince of Peace. The next passage of scripture I want us to look at is that very scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. And look at the circumstances that are around Isaiah chapter 9, because in that time, it's very similar to what we experience today. It's very similar to what people experienced in Jesus' day. And it's similar to, I mean, this is what they experienced in those times of the exile, when Israel as a nation was under the rule of enemies. And look what it says, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way to the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness. How many of you experienced darkness recently? We live in a country where that's sometimes a load we have to shed. They've seen a great light. Thank you, God. And those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. The light has shone. You have multiplied this nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel in the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Isn't that amazing? Again, in a world where there's anguish and there's darkness and there's sorrow and there's war, there's an oracle that declares that joy is coming, light is coming, and salvation is coming. And Isaiah is looking to that day. And the people who are hearing it at the time are saying, yes, that means we'll be free of exile. But it's not just the exile of Israel. It's every single one of us who will be free of the exile of sin and the trouble that we have in this world, because there's one called the Prince of Peace. And he's coming. And he's come. And he's coming again. Isn't that awesome? So, in the life of Jesus, I want to show you why he is the Prince of Peace. We talk about this Prince of Peace. The angels declare that peace has come among us. So in other words, Emmanuel, God with us, is a God of peace and he wants to be among us. And Jesus is among us right now. But he's called the Prince of Peace, and there's wonderful examples through the Gospels where it talks about him as the Prince of Peace and displaying and ruling with peace. Can I show you these? Mark chapter 4, it says this, Jesus calms a storm. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35 to 41. And I pray this. If you've had a storm lately, there's a little bit of a storm going on at the back of the hall, but don't worry. Not that kind of storm. Some of you might have been in a stormy time, a stormy year. Maybe 2019 hasn't been exactly the drizzle and the rain you expected, but more of the thunder and the crashing and all kinds of stuff. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41 shows us this. Jesus calms a storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. Have you ever felt like that? The boat you've got is breaking, there's waves, there's water. It seems like there's water in the boat, things are sinking. He was in the stern, asleep. Have you ever felt like that? Like, where's Jesus? Are you sleeping, Lord? You're sleeping on a cushion. But this is telling us something about the nature of our God. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, why do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obeys him?" Like, there's times when the wind and the waves seem to overflow and fill the boat. But the Prince of Peace has a different overflow. The Prince of Peace has got he's got so much peace in him that in the middle of the storm, he sleeps. He's so full of peace that he probably didn't need a cushion, but he's on the cushion and he's fast asleep. He's got so much peace that he has to be woken. And this is sometimes our prayers, and we reach out to God and we say, "God, awake over us." And as Jesus stands up, all he does is simply rebuke the wind and rebuke the waves, and there's a calm. There's so much peace in him that it just pours out of his mouth. The minute the peace flows from him, it affects everything around him. The followers of Jesus need to know that he's the one that can bring peace. I tell you what, when Jesus is in your boat, when the Prince of Peace is with you, it doesn't matter what you go through. He can turn it around, or he can cause you to sleep with him on the cushion. The point is this: have you got the Prince of Peace? The disciples asked the right question. Who is this then? Who is this then? That's got to be the question we ask when we see the adorable baby in the manger. Who is this then? This is the prophesied Prince of Peace, and from him flows peace that can change any circumstance. He's not just the prince who changes circumstances, but he's the prince who does things for us as we trust in him. Jesus says this, "Why did you not believe? Oh, you of little faith." One of the keys to peace is faith. Have you got faith? The other day, Carter comes to me and he says, I put it out there, you've probably seen it on my Facebook, but he says, "Dad, who's that Christmas guy?" So I said, "Oh, that's Santa Claus." He says, "Oh, that's my father." So I'm like, no, somewhere in the mix, there's Father Christmas got mixed up in this thing. But I'm happy for him to believe in Father Christmas or not. The point is, it's not like the end of the world for him to have an idea about something. I'm going to help him and guide him and change him and lead him along the way. But I tell you what, many people believe in Santa Claus, and many kids believe in Santa Claus. It becomes this incredible thing, like, you know, make sure that, I hope I haven't let the cat out the bag for all those kids in the back there now anyway. But the thing is this, faith in the right stuff will result in the right kind of peace. Because you can have a faith in something that doesn't result in anything. It just creates less peace. But when you've got faith in the one who is peace, there is a peace. And this kind of faith is incredible. It can impact your life. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48 says this, "There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him, and she touched the fringe of Jesus' garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who is it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are surrounding you, and they're pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, and I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she had not could not be hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had immediately been healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This story is powerful, folk. Sometimes it's circumstances that can stir our peace and get us into a place without peace. But I tell you what, folk, one of the hardest things in this world is when something starts to happen to your body and it starts to show. I mean, this woman didn't just have a blood problem that was inside her body. This was a blood problem coming out of her body for 12 years. It probably didn't look good and it probably didn't smell good. And I tell you, when there's a situation like that where you've got a problem within you and it's manifesting for everyone to see, there's no peace. And she spent everything she had on doctors and she tried everything she could. You can understand her desperation because actually the turmoil inside of her, which was manifesting all around her, people were not allowed to touch a woman like that. The law of the time said this, that if somebody touched a woman with that issue, they were unclean. And if that woman touched anyone else, they would make the person they were touching unclean. And so you can imagine the kind of turmoil inside her life, just walking around knowing this, I'm unclean and nobody wants to be at peace with me. Nobody wants a piece of me. Nobody wants to have me around. And folks, there's so many people in this world today, so many people at Christmas. Just driving here this morning, there are so many beggars on the streets who've put on the best they've got in their little black bag so they can stand out and trust God or someone or something for a handout on Christmas Day. There are broken people and their brokenness is manifest out in the streets for everyone to see. But I tell you what, Jesus is not afraid. Even though Jesus doesn't know who touched him, when he finds out, it's an incredible thing because this, Jesus should have gone to the temple to go get cleansed because this unclean woman had touched him. You know what's amazing about Jesus? When the unclean touches Jesus, Jesus doesn't get unclean. What Jesus has goes to the unclean. He's the clean one. He sets her free. She's clean. She has peace. It doesn't matter what turmoil you've got in your life. It doesn't matter how many people know about it. If you reach out and you touch the hem of the garment of the Prince of Peace, I tell you what, your turmoil doesn't throw him off guard. His peace becomes yours. There's a world that needs to touch that garment, folk. And this is probably the main reason and the thing that I want to share quickly and in Luke chapter 7, we have another account where Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is giving peace to someone. And in this account, Jesus is invited to a Pharisee's house. And the Pharisees were good at keeping themselves clean and trying to keep everybody else clean. And they were good at telling people what they should and shouldn't do. And they were good at ripping people off. And they were good at making comments about people's Facebook posts. And they had all the kind of legalistic things that they could say all the time to other people. And they decide to have Jesus over. Again, Jesus is not afraid to hang with religious people. Because eventually what Jesus has will get into them. But Jesus goes to the Pharisee's house. And while he's at the Pharisee's house, it says a sinful woman. Doesn't say what kind of sinful woman, but a sinful woman, possibly a prostitute. And she comes in, and all the Pharisees know who this is. And they say this, they say, if Jesus was a prophet, they think this in their mind. How's this? They think, if this was a prophet, then he would know that this is a sinful woman. Jesus, hearing their thoughts, he starts to share a parable with them, and he challenges them. And he asked him a question. He said, let me ask you a question. If somebody has a huge amount of debt and it's written off, who's happier? The one who has the most amount of debt written off or somebody who's got a little bit of debt and it's written off? And they say, well, it's the one who has the most. And then he has this to say to them in Luke chapter 7, verse 44 to 50. He says, then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, this Pharisee, Do you see this woman? Probably didn't want to look at her. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. You just judged them as dirty. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You have given me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Somebody, and on another account, it says a jar of perfume. That was probably her livelihood. Probably what she used to make herself smell better from the kind of lifestyle she was living, or probably what she had as some kind of bailout for the rest of her life if she ever got out of what she was doing. But the reality is, whatever it was, she broke it at Jesus' feet. And she was anointing my feet. And says, therefore, I tell you, her sins, though there were many, that great debt, are forgiven. And she has loved much. For he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table began to say among themselves, and this is a good question to ask, who is this who even forgives sins? Who is this? Who is this baby in the manger? Who is this one that calms the seas? Who is this that is forgiving people? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The greatest peace that you and I need is the peace inside our hearts. The peace that is broken by sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they had no peace and they ran away from God. Jesus is the one to restore that peace. He's the one who forgives us and sets us free. And if you have peace in your heart, I tell you what, it's the thing that causes you to love. It's the thing that causes you to worship. It's the thing that causes you to go to bring your tithes and offerings and your whole life, your talents, your gifts, your abilities, your travel, your desires for your future become all His. You lay down all at His feet because you know that you've been forgiven much. Therefore, you can love much. I know how much I've been forgiven of, folk. I know how much I've been forgiven of since I was born again. Not just before I was born again. But I know this, how much He's forgiven me every single day of my life. That's why I want to come and adore Him. That's why we worship Him. So how do you gain this peace? Our problem is we try to understand everything. Sometimes we think that understanding everything is what gives us peace, right? Let me tell you something. When something's going wrong and you Google that problem, you end up with 1,001 more reasons to worry. And so your understanding of something isn't what actually gives you peace. And some people try to control things, but controlling things isn't what gives you peace. There's actually a self-control, which is far more important than trying to control your situation, control the wind and the waves, control what everybody thinks, and control your children, and control your family. Please give up on the control, because it's robbing you of peace. But Jesus is our peace. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything. Has anybody been anxious yet today? Maybe you're anxious about January. Maybe you spent your whole bonus on presents and holidays, and now you've got nothing left for January. Do not be anxious about anything. We'll also learn how to use your money, but do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When He and His government of peace is submitted to, that peace permeates every area of your life. We need the government of peace upon us before we make decisions. We need the government of peace upon us after we've made decisions. We need the government of peace so that He can lead us to make the right decisions. And even if we've made the wrong ones, we need that government of peace to help us and to show us which way to go. So if peace is a person, folk, He's a prince and His name is Jesus. And you need to be His prince and you need to be His princess. And the princes and princesses that are here today, every single one of you can become a prince and a princess of peace. By the way, you allow the peace of God to enter your heart and life. Ephesians 2 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both the one made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Romans 5, verse 1 to 5 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see this, folk? To know Jesus is to know peace. Know Jesus, know peace. Can you put your trust and your faith in him this morning? He's not just a baby to be adored. He's the prince, and the government of peace is on his shoulders, and there will no end. Can I invite us to stand? And I'm going to pray for you. And the Bible is clear. It says this, that if you put your faith in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he gives you the Spirit of Peace. The Spirit is amazing. It says in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. I want to trust that however many people we are here, that today if you need to make a fresh commitment to Jesus, maybe today as a fresh commitment to this day as a believer, that you will allow the Spirit of Peace to reign through you and to reign from you. There's an opportunity, as was said this morning, Richard, with the kids. The third area was our peace with men. To be a prince or princess of peace is to be a peacemaker. It's unfortunate that so many families do not have peace. It's unfortunate that so many families know Christ but still don't have peace. I want to ask you today to be the agent of peace. I want to see and trust that the glory of God would rise around us in such a powerful way. But if anybody's going to make the first move for peace, know this, it's Jesus. And if anybody's going to make a move for peace from this place with Jesus, it's going to be you. And you're not going to wait for somebody to come and say sorry. And you're not going to wait for the opportunity, but now's the time to make peace and to bring peace. Truth and righteousness result in peace. Righteousness comes through faith in Jesus alone. That's the truth. And if we're going to live the truth, we're going to live that righteousness, we're going to be able to live that peace. Folk, if you haven't had peace over this holiday, if you haven't had peace in your workplace, if you don't have peace in your marriage, if you don't have peace with your children, if you don't have peace with your race or other races, there's so many opportunities for us to see the peace of God reign. He's a prince and he's our prince, and his peace is for everyone. Can I pray for us? Lord, we want to thank you right now for peace that would flood like a river. I pray right now that peace would begin to rain upon every single person. Good news has been brought to men, not just by angels, not just by Jesus himself. He said this, in this world, you will have trouble. But fear not, I, the Prince of Peace, have overcome the world. This morning, Lord Jesus, we make it our fresh commitment to stand before you and to welcome you into our hearts and lives. We ask you for peace. We don't just ask for peace, we want you. If you would pray with me, whether it's a first time or not, say, Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, I put my trust in you. I believe in you. I receive you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for peace. Let your peace come. Let your peace flow from my life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I pray now, Lord, every single one in this place that has prayed their prayer in sincerity in their hearts. The Lord says this, that there is the pleasure of God over you, and the peace of God will reign. And the peace of God will guide every one of you as an umpire that will lead you and tell you which way to walk. and tell you what to say and tell you where to step and tell you when to stop and when to go. I pray this, may you never be led forth in pressure but in peace. And let the peace of God govern. And let the peace of God lead. Let the peace of God be around every Christmas table. Let the peace of God welcome strangers and those with whom there was no peace. Let there be peace today. And God, we ask you for just an incredible display of your glory. Let the angels see again that there's glory to God in the highest, and on earth there's peace among men with whom his pleasure rests. Be praised, O God, in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Amen.